Hello, my name is Lisa Elvin-Stoltore, and this is my channel, How Roots Will Travel. I'm a genealogist and a passionate traveler. Most of my videos will be about traveling or understanding various locations, but in this special series, I'm focusing on a part of Quebec history that is near and dear to my heart, the story of Les Filles du Roi, or the King's Daughters. In this series, I'll be focusing on the individual biographies so that we can get to know as many of these amazing women as we can. Please let me know in the comments below if there's one fille du roi in particular you are interested in, and I'll try to move her to the front of the line. And please don't forget to subscribe to the channel and click on the notifications alert so you'll know when I post new content. And of course, if you like the video, click on like. That'll help me so much. Thank you. Let's get to it, shall we? Let's get started. Les Filles du Roi was a program that was designed in 1663 by the intendant at the time, Jean Tanon. I go into depth about this program in the video I prepared, which is the program 2.0. Please have a look at that. It will give you all the information you need about the background of these girls and what they needed to get into the program and what happened once they got there. All of that good stuff is contained in that video. Let's get to know the lady in question that we're going to be looking at today. Her name is Jeanne Magdalene, and she happens to be my nine times great grandmother. Let's get to know Jeanne. Jeanne was born in 1646 in the parish of Senart, which is found in the 10th arrondissement of Paris, in the Saint-Denis Faubourg. Faubourg means neighborhood in English. The church where she would have been baptized dates back to, are you ready for this? 583, when it was a chapel. There has been a church here, however, since at least the 12th century. The one we're seeing in this picture dates to 1429, a newcomer, and has been renovated several times. The tower is the only thing remaining from the 12th century church, which is still amazing. Saint-Laurent was the parish church of Vincent de Paul from 1632 to 1660, for those of you who are familiar with that name. This arrondissement, called Entrepôt, which means warehouse, is situated on the right bank of the River Seine, and it contains two of Paris's six main railroad stations, the Gare du Nord and the Gare de l'Est. The 10th arrondissement also contains a large portion of the canal Saint-Martin, linking the northeastern part of Paris with the River Seine. So it's kind of an interesting area. So this is where she's from. Her father's name was Jacques Magdalene, and her mother's name was Marguerite Roussel. How did she come to New France? Well, upon her father's death, she was recruited to be a fille du roi and left for France at the age of 23. She arrived on June 30th, 1669, on the ship Le Saint-Jean-Baptiste. She bought with her goods of approximately 100 pounds. Let's get to know a little bit about the groom she selected, Antoine Tapin. He was born in 1641 in the parish of Saint-Nicolas in a small village called Poix-sur-Vélior in the region of France known as Pays de la Loire. His father's name was Toussaint Tapin, and his mother's name was Marie Gendron. At the time of Antoine's birth, his family lived in Poix-sur-Vélior in the ancient province of Poitou, France, now the department of the Vendée. The old kingdom of Aquitaine is contained here, and as we know, it was historically significant and was at times owned by France and England at other times, so they kind of shared it. This area was fraught with wars and crop failures and was one of the main reasons why many immigrants looked to New France for the start of a new life. This was Antoine's story. He arrived in New France on the 25th of May, 1664, on the ship Le Noir de Hollande. He is found on the 1666 census living in Sillery and acting as a domestic servant in the household of Denis Joseph Rouet. Ruette d'Auteuil, there's a name, who was a counselor to the king's sovereign council. So he was kind of establishing himself. Antoine and Jen were married on the 4th of November, 1669. So he had been there for about, 5 years or so, 5, 6 years, and getting, his monies and all of that together. And here comes Jen. And they were married a couple of months after she arrived. And they were married in Quebec City at the Notre Dame Church. Here's a little history to this wonderful, wonderful church. The church you're seeing here on the right is the Basilica de Notre Dame in Quebec City. Notre Dame de Quebec Church was built in 1647 and was given the name Notre Dame de la Paix. It was the first church to be made of stone in the city. In 1664, it was dedicated to the Notre Dame of the Immaculate Conception. When the Quebec City Diocese was constituted in 1674, it became the cathedral of its first bishop, Saint François de Laval, which in Quebec is a very famous name. 200 years later, Pius IX declared it a basilica, that is, a church privileged because of the important number of pilgrimages it draws. This church has burned down twice, the first being in 1759 during the British invasion, and the second time in 1922. From 1650 to 1898, some 900 people were buried under the cathedral. When the cathedral was rebuilt in 1923, a crypt was added. Most of the bishops, the archbishops, and the cardinals of Quebec diocese in the crypt, as well as four governors of New France, which include Frontenac, Vaudreuil, Carrière, and Jonquière. Truly a place to visit if you are at all interested in Quebec history. So Antoine and Jen begin their life together in a town called Neuville. Neuville means really new town, and it's a village on the north shore of the St. Lawrence River, just west of Quebec City, part of the Portneuf regional county municipality to this day. It is founded in 1684, but it has remained truly a picturesque and amazing throwback kind of a village. In 1653, the area was granted as a seigneurie by Jean de Lauzon, to Jean Bourdon de Saint-Jean, and for his son, Jean-François Bourdon de Dolberg, who was an engineer, a surveyor, a cartographer, and attorney general to the sovereign. In 1680, the Dolberg Seigneurie was acquired by Nicolas Dupont de Neuville. Thereafter, the Seigneurie was known as Neuville. I give you all that information so you know that sometimes you'll see it referred to as Dolberg, and that's where that comes from. In 1679, the Saint-François de Sales Parish was formed. It became a civil parish in 1684. The place was also known, or the church was also known as Pointe aux Trembles, in reference to the point on which the church was built, which was once covered with aspen, which is actually what a tremble, le tremble, in French means aspen. So it's a kind of a tree, and birch. Robert Germain was among the first to obtain land in this area, according to the Neuville Historical Society, and he is among the pioneers of the town and a founding father. Another interesting fact is that Neuville is the town that has the second most villageois of any town in Quebec, 48. In fact, we have in our very short series seen a few already. Elizabeth Pretel in video 12, Agathe Merlet, number 14, Elizabeth Sully, number 3, and Catherine Girard, 20, and we just finished up Marie-Catherine Cognard in 26 already. We've seen a lot of ladies who established Neuville. The only city with more were Charlesbourg with 101, and coming in at a third place was Montreal with 46. So you can see how important Neuville was to the establishment of Quebec. I view it truly as kind of second to in Orléans, the nucleus of Quebec. I really think of it as a very important part. By the 1681 census, we find Antoine and Jeanne living with two children, René and Jean, 5 goats and 20 acres of land. Let's have a look, though, a closer look. But it's a story inside every story, and here's one. Inside that census is an 8-year-old boy. Who is this? Well, I looked at it. There's Antoine, Jeanne. Okay, I'm cool. Enfin, René, Jeanne. And Antoine Bouchot. He's 8 years old. So it turns out he was the son of another Fédérois, Catherine Guichelin, who lived in Nouville with her husband, Nicolas Bouchot. Remember, I told you the story of the Fédérois and how the myth that many of them were prostitutes and it was just a myth? Well, it turns out that they were every now and again accused of prosecution and convicted. There was a few of them. And it turns out that Antoine's mother, Antoine Bouchot's mother, Catherine, and another Fédérois were accused of prostitution and convicted of it. Antoine's sister was adopted, and I have to assume that Antoine Sapin and Jeanne took him in and helped to raise him. There is no record of adoption. This is just how it happened. So you see how you kind of get to know people, and it's like the neighborhood, and okay, we'll take him in. And that is what makes these stories so amazing. Now, René married he married Mary Louise Loriot de Limousin, and they had seven children, six of whom reached adulthood. Now we have Jean, who married Geneviève Bérard de Nepine, but from all appearances had no children that reached adulthood. So as you can see, it's a very unusual situation to only have had two children. They are the exception to the rule, to be sure. No details as to why that is. Antoine died on the 3rd of February 1712 at the very respectable age for the time of 71 years of age. Jeanne followed a mere 4 years later on the 23rd of September at the impressive age for a woman of her time of 75 years. You can see the burial where they're buried next to each other. I like that idea. And with this, we end another biography of Les Fédérois. Although Antoine and René only produced two children, one of their children did produce de descendancy, which I'm very grateful for, because that means I'm here. But it was also the fact they both lived really long lives in this town of Nouville, and I think it was important. Their contributions to Nouville and to the study of Quebec and the establishment of Quebec, and its history and all of that, they were part of that. They are part of the creation of Nouville as this nucleus of the birth of the rest of Quebec, if you will. And who knows? I mean, their help with the we only have the 1681 census where they helped, where they opened up their homes to that Antoine. Maybe they opened up their homes for other things. And I think that that's part of what we don't know. And we sort of have to kind of guess that they became probably very upstanding, very salt of the earth kind of people who could be counted on. And that's kind of how I think of them. So that's their contribution. So with that, I bid you adieu. And I will see you on the next Fédérois. Until then, au revoir.